hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier behind the glass. And it is time to talk to ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck, also head coach of Innsworth, on the line with us now. Tim, what's up?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're doing fantastic. It's just it's franchise tag day. It's almost free agency, and the Titans just continue to do little things here and there. Big Joe, who has been all about Reuben Bain to this point, is now on the Jeremiah Love train after the NFL Combine. What are your thoughts on Love and his fit with Cam Ward?
Well, first off, I'm never surprised when Joe's on a love train.
Hang up on him, please.
The most predictable thing I think I've heard all year. Look, he was a great player in college. The testing numbers, are pretty absurd. And, I don't know that necessarily – it doesn't feel like it was surprising. I feel like that was definitely an anticipated, performance by him at the combine. You know, I have not been one of these guys in draft processes that have felt like, spending super high draft picks on running backs was a good idea. And largely because I think that it is a position that you can find elsewhere. And I remember talking to Bill Polian one time at ESPN about just the process. Now his argument was, and he drafted running backs in the first round, Edgerrin James, Donald Brown, I think Joseph Addai maybe was a first round draft pick. And his thought process was, they're outside of quarterback, there is not another position that can have as much impact and influence immediately on your offense than a running back. And he's not wrong about that. I mean, you can draft a first-round running back, and he can lead your team in touches and carries and in terms of the percentage of offense that he influences right away. That's a big deal. So, I can't say that I would be completely against it. I just think that if you're going to do something like that, you have to acknowledge, look, this is a position that you can find elsewhere. It's much harder to find Reuben Bain elsewhere. Quite frankly, you don't. So, I think that's where just the value of the position in terms of how hard it is to find guys at that spot would really weigh heavy on me.
So I wonder too, if with the Titans and the trade sending Tavondre Sweat to the Jets, they get Jeremiah Johnson coming back, do they feel they've addressed pass rush? I don't feel like they've fully addressed pass rush because I'm still on Reuben Bain. I don't hate Jeremiah Love, but I really like Reuben Bain. So I feel like those would be complementary pieces. But do you think Johnson being reunited with Robert Saleh could be the answer they're looking for in that department?
Johnson's a really good player, really good edge player, and I do think that they most likely feel as if some pass rush need has been satisfied. At the same time, there's never been a coach, especially a defensive-minded one, that feels like they're not done adding pass rushers. I mean, the more guys that you can have that you can kind of roll into a game fresh to have production, the better. So I feel like my plan would be, and I think we talked about Bain in the past. I had some of his games as a true freshman at Miami, maybe as a freshman and a sophomore, I forget, but he was incredible then. And, maybe I did share this with you. I had a conversation with Jason Taylor about him, who was coaching him at the time. And so, I just think that, in terms of adding up, at the position, seeing what other teams have done in terms of saying like, look, yeah, we're going to add legitimate pass rushers, but then we're going to have more. It's not unusual to see teams where, every one of their starting defensive linemen were guys that were first round draft picks at some point, either with them or with another team. I mean, I think that's how hard it is to find just physically talented guys to play those positions. So I'm not saying it takes them out of the Jeremiah Love, business, but I do think that, just kind of loading up on the defensive line is certainly a philosophy people have subscribed to.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck on the People Show. Tim, this is the People Show. You know that, right?
I do.
Okay. Thank you for that. 2023, the Houston Texans traded with Arizona Cardinals and gave up the number 3 pick to get Will Anderson. Cardinals got 12th pick, the 33rd pick, 2024 first round pick, on and on and on. Do we know who the Arizona took with those picks? And the reason I ask this, because it's been done before. Why not sacrifice your guy next year and a few draft choices, move up to 3, get Bane, and get Jeremiah Love? It's been done before. Hmm. You're not going to miss these guys in the second, third round and all that stuff. I don't even know who Arizona took right there. I do know that Will Anderson's a badass. C.J. Stroud's had up and downs, but not bad. But, I mean, it's there, right? Would you do that?
I think if you feel like you have the quarterback, it's a philosophy that makes sense. You're right about Will Anderson. I mean, the best thing about the Texans this year was that, like, they could just rush 4 and play coverage, and people couldn't pass the ball on them because they couldn't protect their quarterback. So, I do think that people value – overvalue certain positions in the trade and the trade market right around the draft, where you can make moves that, look, if you get it right because you're for sure about a player, that it makes sense. Because, look, third round draft picks aren't always guaranteed to make the team. They typically do, but they're not guaranteed to. You get into rounds, 4 through 7, like, not to say you can't find good players. Like, Dak Prescott was 4th-round pick, but the likelihood that that guy is going to really change the trajectory of your franchise is low. So, like, I don't hate the idea. I guarantee if we went back and looked at it in terms of, the Cardinals, there's probably a player where you're like, oh, yeah, no, that guy's pretty good. They're glad they have him. But there are probably some other ones that you would go, it really wasn't worth it, from Arizona's perspective.
What about Wandale Robinson? Reports out there the Titans are going to aggressively pursue him in free agency. You like that?
They need receivers. And Robinson's been a good player and played through up and down quarterback play for the Giants. So I don't hate it from a standpoint of a young, talented free agent who, I think we all probably would agree would be, an upgrade to the receiver room. I kind of like the free agent market at wide receiver this year. Not everyone's the same. Some guys are a little bit longer in the tooth than others, but I think it's a pretty decent class of wide receivers that are available, and I think it's coming at a time where it's a strong wide receiver, class in the draft, which I feel like you could, again, beat the market where, you're not paying, extreme top dollar for some of these wide receivers that are, that can play like number one wide receivers.
Is it plus he caught a ball from Tommy DeVito? That's pretty good right there too, right?
When I said up and down quarterback play, I think everyone knew what I was talking about.
The fact that he's 5'8" does not seem to bother me at all. Should it bother anybody else?
I didn't. He's listed at 5'8", huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I don't love that. Just being completely candid, especially for. Especially for a young quarterback, but catch radius does matter. Look, it's why if you look at the guys that, I would kind of have more at the top of the market, Pickens, who's obviously getting the tag, big catch radius, Mike Evans, Alec Pierce. I mean, there is something to the big, wide catch radius guys. It's why Kyle Pitts is getting the franchise tag, with the production we've seen from him, the up and down production we've seen from him. It does matter. It is a big man's game, and especially on the offensive side of the ball. So, I don't love that, and that would definitely be something that You know, I'm factoring in terms of contract, in terms of, you know, also how we're prioritizing the free agent.
He's Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. We'll have more with him coming up next here on Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Well, first off, I'm never surprised when Joe's on a love train.
Hang up on him, please.
I mean, the most predictable thing I think I've heard all year.
Continuing with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and Innsworth head coach. That's pretty good right there, Tim.
I mean, listen, just behind the glass, ready to go. Like, you know, just get the phone teed up. I love it.
Tim's on that Innsworth cricket phone. We got to get you a new phone, Tim.
What are you talking about?
You sound like now? Optimus Prime sometimes on that cricket phone.
Oh, it's
you
better
got
now.
There.
It's good
okay,
now.
You're good now.
It's windy out, guys. It must be the Starlink, you know, you have outside your palace.
Oh man,
it is something like that. Continue with Tim Hasselbeck. Now, I had this question ready to go, and now I completely forgot what I was going to ask.
Because, made you wonder if you renewed your Starlink membership. Is that
it was something like that. Oh, I have it now. What is something that you think right away Brian Daboll is going to be able to teach Cam Ward that maybe he hasn't gotten, he hasn't learned to this point?
It's hard not knowing, you know, what things were instilled in him. But I think the equity that Brian Daboll will walk in there with will be, you know, the other quarterbacks that he's worked with and had success with. And I think being able to use examples, you know, the way it works when you install an offense is, you know, you watch cut-ups of, you know, your team or someone else's team, if you haven't installed it in your offense yet, running the plays that you're running. And so I think what he's going to be able to do is he's going to be able to show them examples of Josh Allen doing things a certain way. And, you know, and probably to an extent, you know, Tom Brady doing things a certain way, and probably to an extent, even Jackson Dart doing things a certain way. And I think that is really powerful, because, you know, oftentimes as a quarterback, if you're doing something that's new or something you haven't done before, one of the things that is so confirming to, you know, encourage you to trust the process of what a coach is asking you to do is seeing somebody have success doing it that way. It's one of the reasons why I think the West Coast offense has had so much success over time, is that, like, when you would watch, like, hey, here's Joe Montana doing it, here's Steve Young doing it. I mean, heck, here's Steve Berline doing it. And then, look, here's Brett Favre doing it, here's Jeff Garcia doing it, here's Donovan McNabb doing it. And I think when you can see it actually happen a certain way, coached the way the coach is telling you to do it, I think it's impactful and pretty powerful.
You know, Chase and I commented, Tim, on the last part of the season, the last probably 4 to 6 games, Cam Ward looked like a maverick out there, like, mm-hmm. The coaching staff's not going to be here, I'm going to do this and that. Was that good for him to kind of ad-lib a few things down the stretch? You played the position, you know what would be good, because, you know, that staff's not going to return. You kind of like, oh, I ought to see things this way. Is that good or bad?
I think because he had I think, would we agree that he had more success later than he did earlier?
Yes.
I mean, because that's how I see it. Okay, right. And so with that being the case, I think it's a bad thing. Because, you know, while it was better, I think, for him personally, it really wasn't leading to team success. And it wasn't really leading to efficient quarterback play. And I don't think it was really how you can have sustained success playing the position. So I don't want to say necessarily it's a, it's awful and it's a setback, because I don't believe that to be the case. But I don't think that lends itself to improve consistent quarterback play over time. And But I would also say, like, every, and I don't know Cam Ward, and but every interaction that I've seen with him and heard him, you know, kind of explain his process and how he approaches things and things like that, I think he's going to come in open and willing to work. And I think that is a posture that does lean itself, you know, towards success in terms of, you know, learning how to play the position.
Is he the right guy for this team right now? I mean, I know he was the number one pick last year, but Dable coming in there, is he the guy you could build the franchise around?
I think he is. I thought he was that type of prospect, you know, coming out a year ago. I think, you know, the division has gotten harder. You know, Houston's defense is incredible. You know, the Colts stumbled on a quarterback. And they're really good. Jacksonville, you know, is definitely an improving team. And, you know, I think you're going to make an argument that their leadership is better than it's been in a long time. And so, you know, I think there was a couple things that could be true here. It could be that Cam Ward's the right guy and the Titans could improve. And I think you could look at the division and say, who knows? Who knows if he's going to be good enough to help them win one? And, you know, I think that's what's really difficult about, you know, the environment that everyone associated with the Titans kind of finds themselves in right now.
Tim, I noticed on Twitter here a few minutes ago that Jermaine Johnson tweeted at John Franklin Myers saying, next Wednesday, coming soon. I think his name has been mentioned, obviously reuniting with Robert Saleh. Could Franklin Myers be a good fit for this defense?
Yeah, listen, I do like when coaches bring guys that they've been with in the past, because I think that, you know, coaches aren't looking to bring guys that they don't kind of know what they're going to get in them. It felt like Parcells was one of the first guys to kind of like have his Parcells guys that he would, you know, make sure that he brought with him, you know, from a leadership, from a production standpoint, all of those things. And so, you know, look what Vrabel did. Look, Vrabel reunited with plenty of guys that he'd been with in the past when he got to New England. And, you know, I think you make the argument that most of them probably fulfilled a role that and a need that the team needed. And so, I typically like those moves in large part because the coach usually only does it if they think they're going to get the best out of him. Like, I'll give you one that I don't think is going to happen. I could be wrong about this. I don't think Tyreek Hill is going to end up back in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think a lot of people think that it will happen, but I think this would be an example of, I think when the coach knows what he needs to know, then I think they usually make informed decisions.
I think that's a really interesting point. So a week from today, we'll be in the legal tampering period and approaching free agency, the league year beginning at 3:00 Central Time. What do you think the number one story is going to be?
Oof. The number one story? I think there'll be a lot of buzz around some of the quarterbacks, you know, and that doesn't mean necessarily the free agent guys. I think there's going to be a lot of movement. I think we talked about it before, but like what happens with like Mac Jones is not a free agent, but like what happens with Mac Jones? I think Mac Jones is going to be seen as a guy that is, you know, maybe more priority than some of these other guys that are about to hit free agency. And so, you know, I think that could have a pretty significant impact on the climate and the movement for the guys that we've talked about before, the Malik Willis and the Kyler Murray and you know, guys that are available like Kirk Cousins and guys like that. So I think that is going to be a big story because I think it also kind of plays into, you know, what's going to happen with quarterbacks, you know, coming up here in the draft.
Tim, we have you've talked about playing with Michael Strahan, Champ Bailey.
Yeah.
You were with Fitzgerald in Arizona. I was reading this thing about his work ethic. You couldn't tell if he was a first-round pick making millions or a guy that's on the cut line because of how hard he worked. You saw that day-to-day. Was that amazing to watch that?
He was amazing, you know, in regard to that. He I think one of the best things about him is he was always willing to be coached the way that, you know, the last receiver on the roster was getting coached. And so, you know, Todd Haley was the offensive coordinator at the time. And Todd, you know, had coached receivers and was, you know, kind of known to be relatively abrasive and hard, you know, on receivers in general, but on players, period. And like, it was good. Like, if he was going to yell at Jeremy Urban or Steve Breston, then, like, he was not going to be, you know, worried about, you know, yelling at Larry Fitzgerald. And Larry, you know, responded to it as if he was, you know, an undrafted free agent who's trying to make the team. So I have a ton of respect for Larry. He and I are pretty good friends. We actually were on kind of the camp circuit with our high school age sons a couple years ago. And, you know, he's a really unique guy that is what he accomplished as a player at his size was really remarkable.
There's not a Larry Fitzgerald around the corner, is there? I mean, those guys are few and far between, I would think.
Well, and I think there was a lot of talk about him not being super fast, but he ran a lot better than people realized, and he was unselfish. He was, you know, like, he wanted the ball, but if he didn't get it a bunch, he wasn't going to complain about it. He did things the right way, and I think that, you know, that's carried over to his, you know, post-playing career. And quite frankly, it's why he's been as successful as he has been, you know, since playing football.
He is Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and Innsworth football coach. Tim, great stuff as always, and we'll talk to you on Free Agency Day next week.
Sounds good. See you, fellas. Enjoy the love train.
Absolutely. That is Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us here on the program. I guess we'll talk to him the day before Free Agency next week, but, you know, I can't keep my day straight.
There will already be deals that will be out there. We'll have plenty to talk about.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Coming up next, we'll shift away from some football for a few minutes. We've had a lot of football. I want to hit on a couple of Preds things and other things. It's Chase and Big Joe, 615-737-1025. And we are presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel on 102.5 The Game.